Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be shared at the close of the service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Sometimes Jesus' orders are much larger than we realize. Certainly that was true when he said to Peter one day, "Feed my lambs." Peter didn't have the slightest idea what was all involved in that command. I'm wondering if we do in the church. At least today, I'd like to visit with you about it from God's holy word. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have challenged the church, that we are to live above the mundane things that so often fill our agendas, and that we're to take a look at this world of which we are a part, your sheep created in your image, and grant, O God, that we may hear today that great command, "You go and feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, yes, tend the sheep." God, may we hear it clearly, and then will you give us the grace to do what you have told us to do. In your name, amen.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us dear. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us dear.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with the 15th verse. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And then Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." This was a great order that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Peter. I'm sure that he never understood the magnitude of that commission until he began to do his missionary work. He began to understand, as Oswald Chambers has pointed out in his great devotion book, My Utmost for His Highest, that God has all kinds of sheep. Some of them are bedraggled and dirty. Some of them are awkward and butting. Some of them are defiant and wander off. And some of them are cuddly and pretty. They're all a part of the flock, and they're all a part of that group that Jesus has said to his church, as he did to Peter, "You go and feed them." So it's that flock that I'd like to take a look at today in the sermon, to see what he really was meaning when he uttered these words that could be taken almost as routine, but when you look at them, see how great they really are. One kind of a sheep that Jesus was referring to were those that we often in the church today call the seekers. Some of those people are seeking after the way of salvation. They don't know which way they're going, but they're pondering the thought that maybe after death there is a place called heaven or hell, and I really want to know where I'm going. Sometimes their religion, to use it in a general sense of the term, has not answered their questions, and so they're wondering. A part of that flock, then, that our Lord made reference to were these seekers. And so we go back to the city of Jerusalem only a few days after Peter had received this commission from the Lord. Jerusalem was crowded. After all, it was a trading center, and there were people who had come there to do their business and perhaps did not have a great deal of interest in God, religion, or anything else related to it. On the other hand, it was a festival time for the people in their religion, and as a result of that, they were God-fearing people in many cases who had come there to celebrate their religious festival. But their religion had left many questions unanswered. Primarily, the question was, how do I enter into a living, personal relationship with God? That was very clear, evidently, because it was that particular question that Peter addressed when he had the first opportunity, as far as we know, to really feed the flock. In his sermon on that particular Sunday, Peter began to say, you know, you're a part of the human race, and the human race is made up of sinful people of which you are part. You know that, don't you? Well, the last sinful act, Peter went on to say to them, that this corrupt generation did was to crucify Jesus. Many of you had heard him preached. You had heard him expound the truths that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. You had heard him cry out that he had come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. You had seen him perform his miracles, but in spite of all of these things, you turned your back on him and were a part of a crowd who crucified him. Well, we want you to know that he is the one who can help you. He is the one who can forgive you. He is the one who can bring you into fellowship with God. He is the one who is the answer to your spiritual questions in life. Yes, human beings killed him, but God raised him from the dead. He is your hope. And after they heard that, those people turned and they asked Peter the question, what shall we do? And then in that 38th verse of the second chapter of Acts, he gives this beautiful passage. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the question. How do I find a living relationship with God? That's the answer. The seekers were with Peter on that Pentecost Sunday, and the seekers are still with us today. Now you may say, well, I think this is all preacher's talk. You're trying to make a case for yourself, for your profession. I don't think people are that interested in religion anymore. We have passed by that stage in our thinking. You really think that, friend? If you really do, I'd like to suggest that you take time to get into a meaningful discussion with your friends and relatives about life and see what really does come to the surface. Oh, it may not come if you're just going to have a light conversation, not get beyond the things of this day. But if you just take a lead question and let it go into the depths of the individual's heart, I think you'll begin to see that they are very concerned about the spiritual matters of life. Let me give you an example of visiting with two young men on this matter of their relationship with God. The first one is completing his second year at the University of Wisconsin. And one day when I happened to be with him, he asked if we could play a game of golf together. That astounded me a little bit because he is an extremely fine golf player and I don't have a very good game. But we went to the course and we began to play, and I hadn't gotten over the first hole when I began to understand that we were really not here for golf. He had some questions that he wanted to ask me, and they were basically of a spiritual nature. Tell me further, will you please, about God. Tell me what his primary purpose is with me. Tell me what he plans for me. Well, obviously, some of those questions, like what he's planning for this particular man, I couldn't answer. But it led us into a marvelous, marvelous discussion about the sinfulness of the human being, the grace of God, the forgiveness of sins that comes to us in Jesus Christ, and his tremendous desire that we be his ambassadors while we walk here on this earth and before he takes us home to heaven through faith in Christ Jesus. It was a marvelous, marvelous afternoon. That young man was concerned about his future. There's no question about that. But he was also concerned, as far as the future was concerned, that things were kind of clear for him regarding his relationship with God. The other young man is not quite as old. He is now graduating from high school. And as a result of the great opportunities that are before him, he has some questions too about his future. This young man, very committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, said, tell me, how should I let Jesus into my life to help me in directing where I should go? Now, I'm sure that both of these young men are interested in some of the material things of life. They'd like to know where is the best place to live, where is the best climate, how much money am I going to make, and how much money do I need, and so forth and so on. While they didn't share these things with me, I can't help but believe that they think of the day when they too will have families. But the interesting thing was they're concerned about the spiritual matters of life. In other words, they were seeking. You see, there is another way, friend, to seek. I pray that we're all seeking to know the will of God. It is not simply to enter into his kingdom and to be saved, but it is to know how he wants us to live as his people on this earth. And so I say, give people credit. They have deeper interests than we sometimes think they have. They can be very restless in this society of ours. And they want to have the answer, what is it that really makes me a person who is counting as far as God, society, and my own being is concerned? Well, that's a part of the flock. And you may be interested to know that those two men were my grandsons. And I wonder if your grandsons and your granddaughters do not have some of the same questions. If you will only sit down and talk to them beyond the things that are on the top agenda at the present time. Let's go to the second group. Now, they're not quite as nice. They're the people who are real hostile as far as the Word of God is concerned, and They do not want to hear too much about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter and John, after Pentecost, found themselves one day in Jerusalem. They had just healed a person. And people had asked them, "Well, how did you do that?" And Peter and John said, "We did that in the name of Jesus Christ." And then they began to expand on this whole matter of the gospel. When the authorities heard this, they came and uttered these words. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard." In other words, there is in society, whether it be in the first century or the 21st century, that voice that says, "Away with the word of God." At least, certainly, we do not want you to be sectarian in this matter, and we do not want you to talk about Jesus. Let me tell you, here a while ago, I was at the National Conference on Preaching, and one of our teachers there was telling of an experience that he had had in a large Midwestern city. He had gone there to speak to a particular service club, and as they were approaching the starting of the luncheon, they learned that the man who was to give the invocation was not going to be there. So they turned to the speaker, who happened to be a clergyman, and asked him, "Would you be willing to give the invocation?" And he stood up and began to pray and thank God for the food. And when he was done, he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. The next day, he got an email letter from a leader in that particular service group, in which he said, "I was very angry at your prayer. Don't you understand that you do not pray in the name of Jesus Christ in public anymore? You are offensive to those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. You hurt the whole meeting." Our speaker at the conference was saying, "What do we do? Here's an irate leader. Do we adjust to his request and never again pray in the name of Jesus Christ, at least in public, outside of the walls of the sanctuary of a dedicated building?" No, of course not. We must feed the angry sheep and not give in to those sheep who are going to do everything they can to blot out the name of Jesus. You begin to see the magnitude of what our Lord said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." It was a mighty word that he brought to the people those days, and it's a mighty word that he brings to us today, friend. We are living in a society that needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And it is here that we also must be faithful to what he has revealed to us in the Word of God. Let's go on and take a look at another one of these groups within the flock whom Jesus has told us to tend and to feed. The details of this are found in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. It's a story of Cornelius, and if you don't know it, I would suggest that you go back and read it. But Cornelius was a Roman centurion, and the Bible tells us that he was a good man, liberal with his wealth, and prayed often. He was a person who was religious, but he was another one. Perhaps you could call him a seeker as well, but he was a little different. And that's why I'm using him as an example of what Peter ran across. He was different in that he was a Roman centurion. And Peter was pretty much the disciple to the Jewish people. One day God said to Peter, "I want you to go down to Cornelius, and I want you to share with him the message of salvation." Peter could hardly believe his ears. What was he going to do? How was he going to do it? Could he do it gracefully? And really, his start was not as graceful as at least I would like to have thought it to be. When he got to Cornelius' house, he said to them, "You are aware, aren't you, that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him? But God has shown me that I should call no man unclean or impure." And then Peter went in, and he began this very, very difficult assignment for him. But he shared with Cornelius and his household the message of Jesus Christ. And by the end of the day, here was Zacchaeus, who had come to faith. He was different than Peter in so many different ways. But the Holy Spirit had used the ministry of Peter, and now Cornelius was a believer. Seeing all of this, Peter cried out, "What hinders them from being baptized?" And so he saw to it that they were all baptized. Like Peter, Christians in every generation, including ours, have had difficulty in sharing Christ with those who are different than we are. It is easy for us to look over this flock of humanity and choose those who are most appealing to us, and they're the ones that we really are anxious to minister to. We have our own qualifications and our own standards as to whom we minister. From my childhood to old age, I have seen the church fall into this particular practice again and again. It is not only racial, though it is that, but we look into people's family backgrounds. We look at their social status. Are they too elite for us, or are they too crude, or are they just right? Are there cultural differences that would perhaps divide our group and the chemistry would be spoiled? Some people say there is no field around the congregation to which they belong. And yet, within the shadows of their building, there are hundreds of homes. Not all the sheep in the flock look and act the same way, but God wants them as a part of his flock, and therefore his marching orders to the Church of Jesus Christ is, feed them. Little did Peter realize all that was included in Jesus' orders. Feed my lamb and sheep. But those orders kept him going until he died as a martyr. And little do we know what the marching orders of Christ to his church are in our day until we begin to share the gospel with the seekers, with those who are hostile to the name of Christ, and to those who are different than we are. The orders are challenging, but they stand signed by Jesus Christ, and he is the head of the church. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being concerned about all of your sheep who have been created in your image. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to die only to be raised again, that there may be a message for every individual who walks on this earth, a message from you of your love, your grace, and your strength. And so we pray this day for those who are sick and shut in. We pray for those who do not know you as their Savior and their Lord. And we ask, O God, that through your church, each one may be comforted or challenged with that divine revelation that is ours. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the words and music you have heard today will strengthen your walk with the Lord this week. Christian Crusaders was established in 1936 as an outreach ministry to serve those who were unable to come to a house of worship on Sunday morning. That is still our primary purpose. We also pray that our message may reach someone who has yet to know Christ as their personal Savior. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. We trust, if you are able, you will continue to remember Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry with your prayers and your financial support. We offer our heartfelt thanks and God's blessings to each of our listeners and donors. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.